Anya! Let Kaori through. I need him.
He tried to kill you. I can't let him.
We don't have a choice.
Suddenly aware of a frightful green glow taking shape behind her, Anya glanced over her shoulder. Rue was hunched over, clutching tightly to the jade ogre. Light leaked through his hands and arms.
It's activated, Kaori. We have to stop it.
That's not my problem. You knew it was going to activate the instant you touched it. If anyone's to blame, it's you.
Karin, you're the only one who can help me.
I was your apprentice once, old man. You don't own me now.
The jade ogre smoked and smoldered, and Anya thought it had to be hot enough to scald or burn Rue. Still, the old man hung on to it, his blood smeared over the statue.
If you don't help me, it's going to kill us all.
Let it.
Garin turned towards Anya.
Kill me, or let me go. Either way, I'm not going to stay here and be crushed.
Anya didn't know what to do. She fully expected Garin to try to pull the assault rifle into position. If he did, she'd have to kill him. She had no choice. Slowly, Garin turned to go. Only a few feet away, Kelly pointed both of her weapons at him.
No. Let him go.
The light from the ogre grew stronger. The ceiling was within leaping distance. Anya knew they didn't have much time.
Garin, please. Your memory of the boy I took from his father's cold heart and gave as much of my life to as I knew how.
Garin froze, then turned to face Rue.
You old man. Swear on your life and your black soul that you owe me.
I swear to you, Garin. You shall one day have my favor.
Without another word, Garin ran to Rue. Together they put their hands on the jade ogre and pressed their heads against the figure. The light coming from within the ogre alternately grew stronger and weaker, pulsing faster and faster. In the next instant, the statue exploded. The detonation rendered Anya deaf for a moment, and the flash blinded her. Disoriented, her head swimming, she lost her grip on the sword and sank to her knees. She thought she'd blacked out. Anya forced her eyes open. Ahead of her, Rue and Garin were slumped on the floor. She pushed herself to her feet, then looked around to see Kelly rising too. Both of them had been out of the main blast radius. Running to Rue first, Anya found the old man unconscious. She tried to rouse him and couldn't get him to acknowledge her.
Is he all right?
He's breathing. Other than that, I don't know.
Glancing over her shoulder, Anya saw Garin forcing himself up. He stumbled over to Rue's other side and pressed his fingers against the old man's neck. Kelly ran to the heavy door, trying to pry it open with her hands. Anya reached for her sword.
I wouldn't hurt, especially now. There'd be no honor.
Anya didn't see Garin as an honorable person. Thought maybe he was talking about a more personal level of physical combat rather than life in general.
He needs a doctor.
I know. You're going to have to get one, though, to get out.
The front door is jammed! Can we get back through the secret entrance we came through?
Anya squatted and tried to pull Rue to his feet. The old man never made a sound, just lolled helplessly in her arms. Stooping, Garin scooped the old man up in his arms. He was so tall and broad that Rue looked tiny and frail in his arms. The massive man could no longer stand fully upright under the descending rock slab.
Go, Anya! I've got him!
With the walls losing height, the flames in the channels weren't enough to light the heart of the treasure room. Anya took a flashlight from the ground and charged toward the back of the room. The secret passageway was half closed from the descending ceiling. Anya crawled through, followed by Kelly. Finally, she turned to help Garin pull Rue through the opening. Safe at last, Garin hoisted Rue to his shoulders once again.
Where does this go?
Back to the main chamber eventually. Let's get Rue to help.
Anya took off. Garin and Kelly followed. The four had made good time, winding back up through the torture chamber in short order. Arriving back in the chamber with the rest of the expedition team, there was brief consternation as Professor Hu and his crew recognized Garin as an enemy. Before they could get into an argument about who was on whose side, one of the workmen pointed to the top of the stairs. Several flashlights aimed at the doorway to the torture chamber, and as Anya watched, puffs of dust began roiling into the room. It was time to get out of the cave. Crossing into the main chamber, a solid column of desert sand had begun pouring into the middle of the room. The deluge carried treasure chests and mummified bodies in all directions like a river.
The sand must have been the force pushing down on the ceiling in the treasure room. There's no telling how much is going to come through, but I would not be surprised to see this entire cave fall to pieces.
Across the room, the sand began lapping at the door to the hallway, leaving both exits that Anya knew of blocked. That left only one way out.
Let's go!
She set out at a brisk pace, nearly running down the steps as fleetly as she could. The team followed closely behind, dumping gear in order to speed up. Reaching the floor, Anya led the group to the doorway, her feet sinking into the powdery sand. Running became harder and harder, but she pushed herself.
Did you leave any traps intact back the way you came?
Nothing!
Great! The last thing we need now is to get slowed down.
The sand came faster, and Anya had to believe that wherever it was coming from, it was draining a significant portion of the Lopnur. With every step, she could feel it pounding at the backs of her legs. Approaching the doorway that led to the spiral stairs, the group encountered the two guards that Guy had left behind. They unlimbered their weapons, then froze, stunned by the approaching wall of sand that seemed to be chasing Anya and the others. Kelly didn't wait for them to recognize the threat for what it was. She pointed her weapons and opened fire. At the doorway, Anya stepped to the side.
Kelly, take the lead in case there are any more of them.
Kelly passed through the door and began ascending the spiral staircase rapidly. The others followed suit. At the back of the line, Garin had Rue slung over his shoulder. Anya waited until Professor Hu and his team were safely up into the spiral staircase. By that time, the sand was climbing past her knees. It had washed over the two corpses, completely hiding them from view. Anya followed the last man up into the spiral staircase. Starving for air, her head swimming, she stumbled as quickly as she could. She kept the person in front of her in sight, making certain she didn't run into their back. Briefly, she flicked the flashlight down and made certain the sand wasn't rising any higher. Luckily, it seemed to have peaked farther down the stairs. Only a few minutes later, Anya was stumbling through the improvised entrance they'd torn from the inside of the cave. Garin still held Rue, looking down at the old man with a gravely concerned look on his face. Anya rushed over.
Is he all right?
Garin nodded.
He's badly hurt, but he's had worse days.
What did the two of you do to the ogre statue?
We destroyed it. Something so full of power, and just like that, it no longer exists.
The sword returned to the world.
Some things don't, Anya. That statue was one of them.
What did it do?
I don't know. I wish I could have kept it to find out.
Anya Creed stirred for a moment, then opened her eyes. Blearily, she shifted in her chair and cracked her eyes open, feeling a little irritated at having had her sleep disturbed. By now, she would have thought she'd be able to sleep through any beep from any hospital machine on the planet, including this new unusual one. For the last 3 days, Anya had been Rue's constant companion in the hospital. The doctors had told Anya that Rue had lost so much blood, in addition to a broken leg and internal injuries, that they didn't know if he would come out of the coma. At first, there had been a lot of questions asked by the Chinese police in Shanghai after Rue had been transferred to the hospital. Then an attorney who claimed he represented Rue arrived and made all the questions go away. He spoke with Anya, too, explaining how to get hold of him if she needed anything. For the last 2 days, everyone at the hospital had left her alone, which was fine by her. She didn't know what to say anyway. Professor Hu had most of the story and had thankfully interfaced with the police on her behalf. Finally, she tipped her head and looked over at Rue.
Rue!
Rue lay on his side, staring directly at her. A look of apprehension tightened his features. Rue glared with disgust at all the medical equipment around him.
You'd think someone had been hurt.
I think they thought you were going to die.
Give it another few centuries. Did they say when I could get out of here?
I think they were waiting for you to get off life support first.
Well, maybe I'll go check with them then.
If you try to get out of that bed, I'm going to kick your skinny butt.
Oh, so that's how it's going to be.
Yes.
Rue looked around the room.
I seem to have a shortage of visitors.
I think Garin would be here if he could. If he stuck around, there were going to be too many questions from the police.
I think I judged him too harshly.
When you needed him, he was there. He carried you out of the City of Thieves on his own back. He could have left you behind.
No, he couldn't have. He got me to agree to a favor for him. He won't squander that.
Anya had been wondering about that, too, trying to figure out how much trouble that might cause later on.
Well, I suppose everybody's rich now. At least the Chinese government should be richer.
Actually, that's unlikely. You missed some stuff there at the end, but we'll cover that another time.
Indeed. How did you make out?
I'm alive.
You know you didn't have to stay. Obviously, I was well taken care of. I even had an attorney standing by for just such an occasion as this.
He was here.
I presume he took care of everything?
Everything.
What about the young woman who was with us?
She got out, too.
I hope Guy didn't, at least for her sake. She seemed like quite a capable girl. I liked her.
So did I.
Do you think she is seeing anyone?
You are a goat, Rue.
Women who can take care of themselves are exciting, attractive, and refreshing in this day and age. You don't find many of them.
Well, she's gone now. You missed your chance, friend.
Oh, pity. I wonder if she'll keep in touch.
I think so. I gave her one of your cards. And mine. I told her that if she needed help, we would do what we can. Of course, I also told her that you can do more for her than I can.
I'm sure I could. In the meantime, you should get out of here. Surely there's something better you could be doing. I'm going to be fine.
Anya got to her feet.
I've got a hotel room, though I haven't seen it since we checked in. All I need is a shower and a change of clothes, then I'll be back. Is there anything you want?
You're coming back?
I am.
Do you play poker?
No. The nuns at the orphanage wouldn't allow it.
You've never played?
Not ever.
Bring back a deck of cards and some chips. I'll show you how to play.
Okay.
Anya leaned over the bed and kissed his forehead. She stood and left the room quickly, while Rue was still so surprised he didn't know what to say. She didn't want to give him any time to embarrass them both or infuriate her to no end. She'd lied about the poker. Bart McGilly had taught her to play, and she'd learned a lot about bluffing from his fellow cops in several all-night tournaments. Who knew? Maybe before Rue got out of the hospital, he'd owe her a favor, too.